Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Today, after the market report, Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs will be joining us for the first segment of the program. We rescheduled Wendy from Wednesday to Thursday due to Greg Hunter joining us yesterday. And then for the balance of the hour, we will have another change. Frank Steffen of the American Voice Radio will be sitting in for Ala Dask. As last night when they were doing the program with James Corbett, there were technical problems connecting with Al, so Frank kindly offered to interview James Corbett, and so that will be taking up the second and last segment of the program today. So make sure you stay tuned for that. So let's get started right away. I know Wendy has a lot of information that she wants to share with you today, and today is August 13th, 2015. It's Thursday, and once again, thank you for joining us today. Well, you know, gold took a little bit of a breather today, but it really not so bad. It was down $11.30 today at 11:15. You have silver down 15 at 15:49. Platinum was down $9 at 996, and palladium was down 11 at 600. And $20. I wasn't even sure why palladium rose as much as it did yesterday, but a little pressure on all the metals today. And you have on the USDX today, of course, that was able to come back a little bit stronger today, 0.19 on the USDX at 96.49. Crude oil was up earlier in the day, and they reversed it 109 to the downside. That's 42.21 for crude oil. I don't know if anybody has noticed if their gasoline prices have gone down, and it doesn't seem like mine barely budged from where I'm located, but those oil prices sure did, and perhaps we'll get a little bit of a breather between the summer vacation time and the winter heating time, we'll see what happens to the oil prices. And let's go to the paper markets right away. You have the Dow was up a few points today. And let me bring that screen right up here. As slow as it is, you have the Dow. It was up, down, and, you know, it was managed 5 points, 17,408. going into a weekend tomorrow should prove to be interesting. The NASDAQ was down 10 at 5,033. The S&P was down 2 at 2,083. The 10-year yield, 2.19%. The euro, a little pressure on that, 0.11 at 1.11. And European markets, you know, pretty much the same thing. Germany was down, was up a little under 1%. Same way with Hong Kong, Japan, London, barely changed, was down 2 points. So with a little, very little active trading today, should make Friday an interesting day. So make sure you tune in with us tomorrow. Rob West will be joining us with some updates for the program. He'll be joining us for the second and third program on Friday. But for now, let's say hello to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hey, Melody. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. And thank you for rescheduling your time with us.
No problem. Thought we'd talk about phytopower today, the phytonutrients that are in our plants and foods. You know, because a lot of us have this basic understanding of nutrition, you know, in particular the role of protein and carbs and fats. But, you know, a lot of us don't really talk about the phytonutrients in our foods, you know, unless we're studying nutrition. So why do we need phytonutrients and what can they do for our health? Well, you find them in your plants. They're actually chemicals which have few or zero calories, and your body likes to receive these vital amounts of phytonutrients from your organic plant chemicals when we eat the fruits and vegetables. So it's essential, actually, if we expect our immune system to be healthy and working to protect us from diseases. So there's a lot of medical research, Melody, going on now with the essential role that phytonutrients play in keeping us healthy. And one discovery they've made is that these chemicals in plants offer this anti-mugenic or free radical protection. So it's kind of impressive because when you have that, the phytonutrients will empower your immune system to function much better. And research is telling us that the phytonutrient-rich plants that contain the antioxidants also have plant sterols, tannins, pectin, cellulose, mucilage, enzymes, and non-starchy carbohydrates along with lecithin. So do you have any idea what happens when you ingest a bunch of phytonutrients? Do you have any guess at all?
Well, you tell us, Wendy.
Well, what happens is you get these antioxidant chemicals going, and it makes it harder for disease like cancer to take hold. So this antioxidant inhibits the cell mutations caused by the free radicals that want to develop, and it helps protect you from cancer. So your cells have these receptors on them, and these free radicals can damage the receptors and your cell DNA, giving cancer a foothold. But the antioxidants in your plants, the phytonutrients, they bind to your cell receptors and block that mutation from happening. So in addition, an additional benefit when you eat lots of phytonutrient-rich plants is you get that free radical damage under check. The cell mutation doesn't occur. You get antioxidants there that can even reverse damage if you have some already occurring, which I think is awesome.
That's
now, some
amazing.
Of the names, I know, some of the names of your antioxidants are things like flavonoids, anthocyanins, polyphenolic, and you find this in like your organic fruits and vegetables. Some of your herbs have them as well. Some other examples is your carotenoid in your carrots, your spinach, even oregano. You got your lycopene in your tomatoes, your grapefruit, and watermelon. You have your reversiphtol foods like grapes, berries, peanuts. Broccoli and kale is also in the list. Then, of course, your vitamin-rich A, E, and C antioxidants. You find them in large amounts in your vegetables, your fruit, and also herbs. So guess what? These sterols are really important as a phytonutrient when you find them in these plants. What happens is they block the absorption of you getting too much cholesterol, and it also helps your glands with respect to testosterone. So this is great in regard to guys with prostate issues, and also for women, they can reduce the risk of breast, uterine, and ovarian cancers when they get a lot of these sterols in these phytonutrient-rich plants. Now, the pectin and the tannins and the mucilage and all these fibers also will improve our colon transit time and prevent a reabsorption of toxins and the likelihood of us getting cancer of the colon. So it reduces your risk of cancer. So your phytonutrients get a big hand, big round of applause. Some of the phytonutrients that you find in herbs that are really high and have lots of vitamin D, which is really important because we have also learned through scientific research people with cancer have low levels of vitamin D. So dandelion root has an overabundance of these antioxidants. And so you can check that out. It helps also with, you know, a little bit of cholesterol in the blood and things like that. It has a lot of bitter compounds, and that means it moves fluids of the body, like bile and so forth. Now, get this, Melody. Dandelion has sufficient vitamin A. It has 338 times the recommended daily allowance per dose. It is so awesome. So if you have an eye condition, a skin condition, mucous membranes are a problem, you definitely want to get some natural vitamin A this way without all the risk of synthetic vitamin A. And it also wards off cancer because of there's something in it. They're really not sure what it is, according to Windsor Medical School, what is in dandelion that makes cancer cells commit suicide but leaves healthy cells alone, which is a whole lot better than chemo, which, you know, kills everything. So check it out.
You know, my grandfather, you know, his family was farmers, and I remember him going out into the yard and pulling dandelions, and he'd, you know, chop up some potatoes, and he knew which dandelions to pull. He just didn't go out and pull them. There were certain ones he pulled he didn't pull. And
what time of year was this? Do you remember?
I couldn't say. I think it was more to the Well, I don't think dandelion is out there in the fall, is it?
It's past its bloom, obviously, when you get to, you know, the September area, which is starting fall, because all the nutrition goes to the root when the bloom is off, okay? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, people put dandelion flowers in their salad or in their tea, but that's usually in the summer months when you get some of those phytonutrients right there in the flower.
Can you actually get it from the flower, too?
Well, if you get it when it's blooming, you get some. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to use the root, wait until fall.
I think he pulled it before they actually bloomed.
Okay, so in the early spring, then?
Spring, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, well, then most of the nutrition would still have been in the root then.
And the thing of it is, the people in those days, you didn't hear of cancer.
Right.
I mean, you just didn't hear because they ate so much. So many people grew their own food. I remember helping him with the garden. We had a huge garden that we went out and we picked. And not only that, it was a great memory, you know, that I can.
I know.
But you mentioned vitamin D. What is the best way to absorb vitamin D? If you have low levels of vitamin D, what's the best way to pump them up?
Well, I would definitely avoid the synthetic vitamin D that people are buying. And, you know, you could get it, obviously, when you're in the sun, your collagen converts that. But you could get it from omega-3 fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines. And, of course, some of your plants, like your dandelion, have high levels of vitamin D in there. So you can tap into those sources as well. When you look at dandelion along with the, you know, antioxidants and vitamin A and vitamin D, it also has lots of vitamin E and zinc in there. So these are like a super oxidative enzyme, which, really is a cancer buster, if you will. And they're not sure what's in it, the mechanism that makes the cancer cell, you know, just implode and die. They're working on it. They really want to make a drug out of that. But in the meantime, you got dandelion. High amounts of vitamin K in there as well, 650% the recommended daily allowance, so if you're low in K, which is really good if you've got osteoporosis or dementia or Alzheimer's, because people with Alzheimer's have low K. So not bad for a backyard weed, you know?
And go out and pull those weeds and then have lunch.
Well, another herb that's high in the photonutrients is thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. A lot of people are familiar with that as a culinary herb, but a lot of the pioneers used it for whooping cough and a lot of congestive-like cold because of the antioxidant action, but they didn't know what was the antioxidants that were assisting them. But it has a lot of nutrition, has a lot of B-complex in there. So it also is reported to fight cancer as well on some levels, as well as fungus, which now research is saying cancer is a fungus. So you can pair your dandelion with your thyme if you want a deeper anti-cancer defense. So there's an option there. Now, also with the ginger root, ginger root's on the list, a lot of B6, a lot of B5, helps balance fluids in the cells, which is really important. It helps you fight antibacterial infections as well as, you know, get rid of nausea. And peppermint leaf, also on the list, as well as an it's an analgesic. It helps kill pain, and that's that compound sensation of cool sensation when you take it in. So a lot of research on that. Antispasmodic, helps with irritable bowel syndrome, lots of enzymes in that. So you've got tools here. And, you know, these are the tools that don't have those side effects that we're also worried about when we look at, you know, modern medicine and healthcare. So I think we need to get back to using these tools and feeling more confident with them.
What about, you had mentioned the salmon and the mackerel and sardines, and Frank wrote me a question about what about toxins that are in the fish, like mercury, radiation? Is that something we need to worry about, or do the benefits override that?
I think a lot of consumers are concerned about that, especially on the West Coast, and I understand that, and, you know, rightly so. So I think people have shifted to, you know, more of an Atlantic harvest or a fish farm that is, you know, managed well. The fish are fed, you know, fish food that they should have and not, you know, chicken dung, if you will. So you have to be careful where this is coming from. So always ask, you know, if you're buying at the store, ask them where it's coming from. And they should be able to tell you where it was harvested, if it's wild caught and where it was it. And if it's fish farm, you know, what kind of resources or vendors are they using there? So I know a fish, you know, it's just terrible what's happening to the fish supply. I mean, it's really a threat. So we have to be real careful with what we're putting in our bodies as well. Yep.
You have to be careful
because, you know, we've got pharmaceutical companies that are really investing heavily in what we call plant profilers. And what they do is they look at these plant compounds, these phytonutrients, and they make a list. They isolate them. They dissect them. They make a monograph of them. And what they want to do essentially in the supplement industry is, you know, separate all these plant chemicals that come in your herbs and spices and then sell them back to you individually so you can reassemble them, which is insane. But that's what they want to do.
Well, didn't also the Congress, didn't they avoid passing the law to where all these foods and so forth list where they're coming from?
Yeah, see, keeping the consumer in the dark is not good, mm-hmm. right? It is just not good. So we have to do our due diligence and, you know, really be selective where we get our foods, our supplements. Get whole food supplements, folks, you know, not isolated chemicals. So less toxicity, more balance. The master chemist, our creator, knows what he's doing. So that's why I trust in the herbs. So it's really a shame that a lot of countries don't have what we have. So we have to take advantage of these tools mm-hmm. and learn as much as we can. So we do have a free catalog for folks if they want to call and get one. That is a toll-free number at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website's up there if they have access, thepowerherbs.com. So, you know, take advantage, learn what you can, protect yourself, because nobody cares about your health more than you.
Well, thank you, Wendy, and we'll talk to you next week. And I want to remind the listeners, Frank Stampin will be joining James Corbett right after these short breaks. We'll be right back.
your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices. All right, welcome back to Financial Survival. And no, I am not Al Dask. This is Francis Steffen sitting in for Al. We're having technical problems getting in touch with Al in Texas. So I'm sitting in for the interview with James Corbett. So I will just cut to the chase and tell you, you already know, folks, it's James Corbett from the Corbett Report. Welcome, James.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It's good to talk to you on air.
You too, James. Now, you know, a lot of the news, and this is Financial Survival, a lot of the news is about finances that we see, and China's in the front pages about a lot of stuff. What's your take on this? Now, they lowered it once, and then they lowered it again.
In fact, I believe they just lowered it for the fourth day in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Third day in a row. I'm jumping the gun on that one. But they said it was going to be a one-time event, and then the next day, I guess it was a two-time event, and then the next day it was a three-time event. Third time's the charm. You never know. Well, now it's gone down 4.65%. It's down to July 2011 numbers. This is a pretty big move on global FX markets, obviously, but I think just generally in terms of what this is going to do, what this is signaling about the Chinese economy and what this is going to do to economies around the world. And there are as many opinions on this as there are analysts, so it is a head-scratching moment. A lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on here. Wow. But I think there's definitely more to this than meets the eye. I don't think China is doing this because they want to or because, they're just trying to make their exports look better. I think there's some serious structural imbalances that's going on just globally and internationally right now, and specifically with the dollar. The dollar is strengthening. The yuan is not pegged to the dollar. It's not a straight peg, but it does float within a certain range that is heavily influenced by the dollar. And that has really created a huge strain on China and other countries that have been linked to the dollar in recent years. And I think this is just some of that steam is being let off right now. And this is going to have some huge, huge knock-on effects, obviously on China's trading partners, and then secondary effects on everyone who's big trading partners with those trading partners. So I don't think any corner of the world is really going to escape what's happening right now. And it really looks like the currency war is starting off. I mean, really the only question is which central bank is going to blink first and start cutting rates and or easing. And it looks like the Bank of Japan might be the first to blink. We have Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's, one of his prime advisors, Koichi Hamada, just came out to say Japan can offset the yuan devaluation by monetary easing, of course. So the Bank of Japan looks set to turn on the printing press as a result of this. And I think that's only the first of many, many such announcements to come.
Now, when you said that, you know, they can lower rates, the United States, what are they, at 0.01 or something right now? And they've been talking here about, well, you know, we're going to raise the rates here one of these days, one of these years, one of these times, but we're going to do it sometime. What has this done to that idea? I mean, is that off the table now, or...
That's a good question. I think that's something that's very much in the air. There's been some jobs data that's just come out that might put a question mark over the question of whether the Fed's going to raise rates this year. And then with this devaluation, I think that has to figure into it. So people who were very sure that there was going to be a rate hike announced in the September meeting might have to think about that again. If a rate hike was announced at this time, I mean, that's just pure craziness. And the only thing that I could think of would be the people who are screaming that, you know, this September is going to be the big crash. There's a lot of momentum behind that idea right now. And they would be exactly right, I think, if the Fed announced the rate hike in their September meeting.
Yeah, that would pretty much do it, wouldn't it?
I can't see any way that would do anything good for the global economy, the U.S. economy, in any way. It's just insanity that they're talking about this right now.
But,
and it's almost like they want to crash the market.
And where they're at, though, how low where they're at, what if things start going, you know, bad and, you know, without even raising the rates? I mean, they got nowhere else to go really down. Oh, they get it on negative?
Well, there's always negative interest rates.
Oh,
that's catching on. It's the newest idea. Yeah, we saw the Eurozone enter into negative interest rate territory in the last couple of years. And, I mean, if the Fed was actually thinking about it, they could probably go the same way as well. But, no, they're talking about going the exact opposite direction.
What
and it's
would
just
that
crazy.
Do? I mean, honestly, we kind of know what's going to happen if they do raise the rates. That's going to be catastrophe. But what if they say, well, okay, we'll go the other way. We'll just go net. What's that? What does that mean to the average consumer out there? You know, the credit card owner, the mortgage holder, the regular Joe sort of guys out there. What would a negative interest rate mean to them?
Well, instead of getting money for parking your funds in a bank or a bank account or whatever, it would actually be losing money for parking your funds. So the obvious effect is to stir people into actually using their money. And that's exactly what lowering rates is all about, and that's what negative interest rates would do. It would be that incentive for people to take that money off the sidelines and put it into, well, what else? The stock market, which, of course, is all-time record highs. What could possibly go wrong? So we're seeing them throwing the kitchen sink at trying to get people invested in the stock market bubble, and that would be the next step.
But people would not or should not expect, if they hear negative interest rates, that that means that you're going to start getting paid to use your credit card. You're still going to be paying interest on
that. No. No, yeah, exactly. Of course not. Of course not in that context. But the idea would be, for example, in your bank account, instead of getting a small amount of interest deposit, you would actually get that interest taken out of your account.
Right.
So that's the way that would ultimately
pan out. But the trickling down stops at the credit card and the mortgage.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's
your
no
mortgage
way that's going in negative territory.
Yeah, okay, I see. So this is just another negative interest rates is really just theft. We're going to do a fee is what we're going to do.
Essentially,
we're going to start charging fees instead of paying
interest. And the Keynesians, of course, would argue this is a great way to get money moving through the economy when it seems to be seizing up. And,
you know, to me, it seems either they're in a jam. It seems to me that either way they go here, if they raise the interest rates, it's obvious a catastrophe. If they lower the interest rates, I don't think people are going to necessarily start using their money. I think they're going to start not using banks as much. People are going to start saying, you know what, I'm cashing my check and I'm keeping it in my pocket. I'll just live with what the inflation steals from me rather than the inflation plus, you know, the negative interest at the bank.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. This is the structural systemic problem that we're facing right now. This isn't just a problem of, oh, if they just tinker the rates in the right direction and to the right amount, it'll all be perfect. I think this is showing that there's only so much magic you can do from within the system. The fundamental system itself is going to have to come down at some point, and I think this is already being baked into the cake. But of course, the people who stand to benefit from that that collapse happening in a certain direction and then offering a certain solution will be the ones who are ready with their ready-made plan to get us out of this. So I think we have to be very careful about that. But you're right. One of the ways this could play out is for people to realize that using these big mega banks is the problem itself. This is what underwrites and underlines the problem and makes it possible. And people trading in local community currencies and going with credit unions and getting their money out of the big banks is really the only actual solution, the only thing that's really going to work. I don't think people should be looking to the Fed to solve all of this.
And the only way it's going to happen is if they get hurt, and negative interest rates will hurt them. And, you know, so the banks are in a jam. They can't go either way. They can't go any lower. They can't go any higher. They can't. They're kind of stuck. And this is why Ponzi schemes are illegal for everybody but them, because, you know, you do it long enough, and it's going to come to this problem where it's just not going to work no matter what you do anymore. And that's the whole, you know, that is
counterfeiting and all of these Ponzi schemes, all of this, all of it illegal, unless the government's doing it, in which case that's just the way it works.
Right, right. Now, I'm looking here and I'm seeing that on one thing they say, well, the federal taxes have hit a record high and, you know, we have all these problems. But then I'm looking here, and it's the federal debt has apparently frozen for the last 150 days. How is that? I mean,
you know, that's a very good question. How is that?
Yeah, 150 days, that's almost 6 months, and, you know, that's half a year almost, a good part of half a year anyway, and frozen? You mean they're not spending, they're not borrowing, they haven't borrowed another dime? How can
well,
that be?
Clearly cannot possibly be the case. I don't know the specifics of this, but I'm going to bet my bottom dollar, as it were, that this has to do with the way that this is billed. I mean, I'm assuming that this is just that there's going to be a tidal wave of backload debt that will come in September or whenever that is. I'm just assuming it's the way that they build this.
Well, they froze it at $18,112,000,000,000, you know, and some
975.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know what? In September, they're just going to say, "Oh, it's 24 trillion, you know, whatever billion, and that's that." And everybody go, "Oh well, You know, I mean, we get to a number. I think we're at the. I think we've passed the number where anybody really cares what the debt is, because I think everybody kind of realizes that. You know, even if the $18 trillion was real, which, you know, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of credible evidence, like, you know, shadow stats, a lot of credible evidence that it's far, far higher, in the hundreds of trillions, and that's not even counting any derivatives or anything like that, you know. But, you know, you get to a number where, what does it matter? I hate to sound like Hillary Clinton, but, you know, really, what does it matter? I mean, okay, $18 trillion can't be paid, neither can $200 trillion. So, okay, so it won't get paid. Either one won't get paid. What really difference does it make at that point? That
well, yes, and it especially doesn't make a difference in a system where you have a central bank like the Federal Reserve that can hold U.S. government debt, and in fact, of course, the Fed is the largest holder of treasury mm-hmm. Obligations. And on top of that, the U.S. is the world reserve currency, so people are always hungry for U.S. debt anyway. So in those conditions, it really is just a number, and there's no point at which suddenly that number is going to become too high and the government can't print anymore. They can print as much as they want until people stop accepting it. So under the current paradigm, under the current regime, they can just keep printing until the cows come home. The real question is when will people start losing confidence in that system? And we know that the Piper is playing right now, and he's going to need to be paid at a certain point. It's just a question of when that point comes.
Yeah, and they're in a jam because there's not a lot more, you know. Well, let's just go back to the bag of tricks and wait a minute, there's nothing left in the bag of tricks. What are we gonna do now? Kind of moment, you know. That let's just see. And then you have other people, you know, players, other countries, not like China. And here's a headline from the Telegraph. And what's your take on this, and how credible is this? How real is this? How much, you know, bluster is this? Russia and NATO actively preparing for war.
I would like to see the report, but, I think we've all seen the broad strokes of that preparation for a very long time. But if they think that there's some sort of special mobilization taking place at this particular moment, I can't say that I've seen those types of moves lately. In fact, if anything, we're starting to see, for example, on the Syrian front, we've just had Putin's foreign minister Lavrov come out saying that basically Putin is trying to initiate a united front against ISIS in Syria, and it looks like there's going to be some increased military intervention in Syria this fall, with Russian support even. So I don't know. I know that there are obviously tensions, and that NATO has been encircling Russia for a very long time, and Ukraine continues to be a boiling point. But I just haven't seen any particular moves in recent weeks or months to show that there's anything fundamentally different going
on.
Well,
what I gathered from this report is basically they're just listing maneuvers and things like that that both sides have been taking, and they've stepped it up a little bit in their training and their war games and their movements along each other's, you know, like, look at us, you know, and they do that specifically so, you know, it's for show that, look, we're ready, we're here, we're moving, we're able to move, look, we can drive across Europe. You know, that was in the news not too long ago. The U.S. Army was making a big deal about the fact that, you know, they could actually get in trucks and drive 1,000 miles across Europe, and I don't know, I thought that was a little, yeah, so I can get my old Datsun and drive 1,000 miles across, you know, so what, you know, but they did it like it was a big deal, like, look what we can do, so you better be afraid, be very afraid, we can make it 1,000 miles. And apparently, from what they were saying, is usually they don't do that. Usually they get in airplanes, and they fly 1,000 miles, and then they're where they are supposed to be, and they do what they're going to do. They don't generally go over the ground, and I guess that's a skill that they thought they needed to practice a little bit, and they were very proud of themselves that they were able to accomplish it. But it's stuff like that that they're pointing to, that it appears that they're preparing for war, and apparently the Russians are doing the same thing, which, of course, they would, you know, if they saw NATO doing that. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just about 2.5-3 minutes. Everybody stay right where you're at.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
All right, welcome back to Financial Survival. This is Francis Steffen. I'm sitting in for Al Adask. We had some technical trouble getting in touch with Al tonight. And we have James Corbett coming to us from Japan. Welcome back, James.
Always good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now, I asked you something during the break, and it's kind of, I don't know, this is the fluff part, okay, of the show. The politics, the campaign thing, because really half of my brain's telling me, come on, this is just a big show. The other half is going, yeah, but people are interested in it. So, James, with Hillary Clinton, the emails and all this stuff just being top secret emails now in the hands of the DOJ, boy, she's in big trouble, and the elections and Donald Trump and the third party threat. What do you think of all that? What's your take on it?
Well, for people who were thinking that Clinton Bush was going to be the 2016 election choice, it looks like Jeb Bush, it looks at this point that he's off the table. And again, you know, never write a Bush out, I suppose. Who knows how he could bounce back. But it looks like he is becoming less and less the front runner here. So the question really is Hillary. And is there any serious challenge to Hillary from within the Democratic Party at this point? Bernie Sanders, perhaps, but I can't imagine that getting a lot of play, except for within the Democrat, hardcore Democrat ranks. There might be some people who will support him. But I think just ultimately he's not going to get the funding and the financing that Hillary already has in place. So I think Hillary looks like the presumptive nominee at this point. And it's crazy to think about, given the amount of political baggage she has, including, of course, the emails, which is still a developing scandal. The DOJ, as you say, investigating her servers now. It's insane that this is the front runner for the Democrat. But there you are. And unfortunately, unless anything changes in the meantime, that looks like what it's going to shape up as. So the question is, on the Republican side, who's going to come out? Here's my take on this matter. Look at 92. You had Bush versus Clinton, and then you had the third-party independent billionaire who runs, splits the Republican vote, and helps get Clinton into office. The relative unknown challenger to a sitting president gets rocketed into office on the back of this, you know, split vote amongst the Republicans. Now switch to 2016, and you have Clinton versus whoever, maybe Bush, and you have this sudden rise of this guy who's already threatening to go independent, who is storming the polls has obviously caught the public's imagination. Of course, Donald Trump. And if he went third party, what would happen? Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that that would split the Republican vote. There'd be a lot of people who support him, obviously. Mm-hmm. There'd be a lot of people who want to support Republican nominee, whoever that is. And you would definitely see a Republican split vote. In that case, who would benefit the most? Obviously, the Democrat nominee, Clinton. And who does it turn out, apparently, convinced Trump to run in the first place? According to the scuttlebutt, the rumors that Trump's trying to deny, it was Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Called him up and said, you should run. So, I don't know.
Now, let me throw a little monkey wrench into that. Or should I say, it's not so much of a monkey wrench as another monkey. Okay? So we have... And it does look like the Republican Party, you know, I can't imagine, okay, I cannot imagine the establishment of the Republican Party accepting Trump as their nominee. That's difficult to imagine. It's possible, but it's difficult. So he goes third party. That's an easy split to see, and as you point to 92, it's happened before. And let's go to the Democratic Party. What if Sanders doesn't just drop out and bow to Hillary? What if he stays in? What if he goes third party? What if he says, hey, you know what, I got a lot of support here and I got enough money to go. In a four-way race, Hillary, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and whoever the Republican nominee is, what happens then?
You know, that would almost actually make this interesting. I mean, I couldn't be less interested in these kinds of presidential elections that are obviously usually decided well in advance, but I guess a four-party race would be, or four-way race would be somewhat interesting. Well, that's a good question, and I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could see some sort of Democrat split.
Well, there's O'Malley. He has been, I've read some stuff about him, he's one unhappy Democrat right now. He doesn't feel that this is...
Well, let's put it this way. I have no doubt there are a lot of Democrats who would be very unhappy with Clinton being the nominee. Yeah. And so there would be, I think, some sort of support for some sort of third-party split-off candidate from the Democrats. But I don't know. I just don't know if I see the financial and institutional backing for such a run. With Trump, I mean, obviously he can finance it. And then you've got the Republican-Democrat nominee. I don't know if there's another Democrat nominee who could really put together the financing that would be necessary for a real presidential run.
And so, might not be brave enough to go against the Clintons either. You can end up dead.
And it's happened before. In fact, just
like
50 recently.
Times before.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Clinton body count. And there may be another person to add to that. I heard just recently that one of the people who was involved in advising Clinton on Libya back when she was at the State Department just dropped dead. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, man. But it would be interesting. I would like, you know, because that would throw another aspect into it. It's like, okay, so... the radical Republicans are going to vote for the third party over here. The radical Democrats, I guess then it would just be a question of, well, how many moderate, you know, who has the more moderates? You know, who has more moderates? And, you know, I can't imagine Democrats, though, if they were given another choice. Because really up to this point, and that's what O'Malley's been saying publicly, is that up to this point, Democrats really haven't been given another choice. You know, it's like, yeah, they're out there. You know, Bernie Sanders is out there, O'Malley's out there, but really the press and really the money and all that stuff, it's just kind of because they got to have somebody to make it look real.
Right.
That exactly. They're not given another choice, and that's what he's complaining about. And
right. And of course, this feeds into, I think, the Democrat psychology generally, which is at this point almost, I think, paranoid about the fact that they may never get into office again. Will they ever have power again after what's happened with Obama? And I think they want to play it very safe, so there's a lot of Democrats who will feed into that.
You know,
I don't know.
And people really need to get over that, because I remember Republicans felt the same way about Bush. Oh, my gosh, after this guy, we're never going to get the White House. We're never going to get Congress. We're never going to get anything. You know, because they lost, you know, Obama got in there, they lost the House, they lost the Senate, you know, it was all Democrat control. Now look, you know, I mean, things change so much that it's crazy to sit there and think, well, just because you're having a bad day today, that you're never going to get back into office again, and oh, everybody's going to hate Democrats or Republicans forever. but it never seems to last. Not very long at all. Not even a whole election cycle. It doesn't last.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but people are kind of funny about that, and you're right, there are the people out there that will just follow the party regardless of who it is, like the Republicans. You know, I don't think anybody has any idea. I did watch the debate, not live, but I watched it afterwards, and Jeb Bush really, they threw him softballs and you know,
he got the second most amount of speaking time, despite the fact no one actually cared what he was saying.
Yeah, so yeah, he did. And hey, but at least the moderators got more time than anybody. You know, I mean, Donald Trump got 10 minutes, which was more than anybody. And each moderator got 10 minutes. And there were three of them. You know, so I guess they figured people tune in to see the moderators, not the actual people.
It's all spectacle at this point.
It really is.
Call me jaded, call me cynical, but honestly, I think these elections are decided by corporations and banks and financial advisors and the big money, and it's trotted out for the public. I really don't think that this is going to fundamentally change anything about the direction of the country, except on those political football issues that people can invest their identity with and get all wrapped up in. But the big, big policy issues and the foreign policy and financial policy is just not going to change from within the system.
I know. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, I can sit down and I can watch a football or basketball game and enjoy it and cheer, but, you know, I recognize it's not changing my life, whoever wins. Doesn't really matter who wins to me. You know, I mean, what does it change my life? I can take a couple hours and get excited about it, but it doesn't really make any difference in the big picture. We don't have that much time left. So let me ask you now, back to China. Given all what they've done, and who knows why, you know, who knows really what they're thinking, but what do you think their next move is going to be? What do you think they're going to do next? What can we expect next from China?
You know, honestly, I think that there's less kind of grand strategy going on here than there is kind of emergency trying to hit the panic button and do whatever they can to avoid some pretty big wheels coming off of their economy right now. And there's all sorts of signs of the economic slowdown in China, and there's just been some more data that's released, the LEAP figures, the leading economic activity pulse, down 3.9% year-on-year last month, which is down from 2.6% down in June. So definitely China is slowing down. I think this devaluation plus the stock market crisis plus slowing housing starts plus slowing auto sales. I mean, there's just a real fundamental problem in the Chinese economy right now, and they're just trying to hit the panic button and do what they can. This devaluation, I think, is a corner that they've been painted into, and it doesn't necessarily help them out. One interesting part of this factor in this is that the way that they've done this is not necessarily basically they're reforming the way that the currency is put in that market range where it's kind of floating in a little band. They've kind of change the rules so it floats in a different way, so it's more based on market price, which is actually perhaps one of the ways that they're trying to lobby for the IMF special drawing rights inclusion of the yuan. So basically to say, look, we're making it more based on market rates rather than our dictates at the central bank. So all of this may also be part of that ploy. But again, I don't think it's a decision they want to make. I don't think this is something they're doing as part of a grand strategy. So I think what we're seeing right now is a rear guard strategy. They're hitting panic buttons. They're just trying to stop the stock market from crashing any further. They're trying to stop the currency from getting out of control. And I don't know how much. Well, obviously, they have a lot of firepower left up their sleeve, but I think one of the things that we're likely to see in the coming months is that official gold holding figure to keep increasing. We know they just made a big increase in it, saying they got 600 tons in the month of June or whatever they said that it was. I think we're going to start seeing that number continuing to creep up as China just basically wants to show to the world and to their own people that they have some firepower to back it
now,
up.
So
I would say that's the next shoe to drop.
At what point do you think, in your opinion, do you think that what they're doing with the gold is going to catch on to the rest of the world, you know, like here in America? I mean, gosh, $1,100 spot is, you know, come on, that's so undervalued. It's a great time to buy, but with China buying all this gold, when is that going to catch on? Because everything is so much based on confidence and what people think. When do you think it's going to catch on and people are going to, oh, my gosh, we need to do what they're doing? You know, we need to start buying gold, physical gold.
Yeah, well, it already is. And there's lots of different sources on this. I suggest people look it up. But basically, there's all sorts of talk from people actually in the industry, jewelers and miners and people who are saying that there is huge amounts of physical gold shortages right now. There's huge amounts of buyers for physical gold. But that's not being reflected in the price, which we know is heavily influenced by these ETFs and futures and paper gold. But we are, I mean, we do still see some sort of market mechanism coming here. And with the Chinese yuan devaluation, we just saw gold rocket up through 1,100 and heading upwards. So even the manipulated price can only be manipulated so much and still does reflect some of these market forces. So I think people already understand that all of this rhetoric about gold being, you know, pet rocks and all of this stuff they're trying to say right now is garbage, and not a lot of people are buying it. So I think rather than looking at the spot price, I think people should be concentrating on what the actual people who are selling the gold are saying. And they're saying that there's huge runs on it right now, and I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, it's a great time to buy with the prices where they're at, because they're probably not going any lower, and they're probably not going to stay where they're at very much longer. Hey, James, give everybody your contact information. How can they get the information that you write about and all the places that you write?
Go to CorbettReport.com, CorbettReport.com. All of my information is there, all of my videos, interviews, articles, podcasts, thousands and thousands of hours of media free for download. And of course, I also write the bi-weekly editorial in the International Forecaster. People can get a free copy of that at theinternationalforecaster.com, and you can also subscribe there and get 40 pages of really quite interesting and vital market information twice a week. So I hope people will go there and check it out.
Well, that's great, James. Well, thanks for being on. It was a pleasure to interview you. I hope someday I'll get a chance to do it again, but probably next week Al will be back in the saddle. Thanks for being on. Folks, thank you for listening to Financial Survival. And, well, thanks for listening.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.